Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me for the Friday, November 22nd reading of East Valley News, featuring the towns of Scottsdale and Paradise Valley. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader, Chris Rosewell. The first article today is from the Scottsdale Progress. It's titled, Cleared for Takeoff, City Zones Up Axon, by Tom Scanlon. Even those who say go big or go home would shake their heads at Rick Smith's sanguine plunge. Though he already had approval for a spaceship-inspired Axon office, Smith made a massive gamble, pushing his chips all in on a plan Scottsdale has never before seen. He won. With City Council's 5-2 blessing, Smith can go billion-dollar big right in his hometown. Moments after a November 19th vote gave him the rezoning he needs for the futuristic office, plus 1,900 apartments and a hotel, the Axon founder hugged and shook hands with scores of employees who spoke up for him. His beaming message to all, let's go build a spaceship. Smith was enthusiastically congratulated by Mayor David Ortega and the four council members, Tammy Caputi, Tom Durham, Betty Janik, and Solange Whitehead, who gave Smith's stunning plan approval. Getting the green light for an unprecedented project in the city where he took his company to worldwide dominance in its two-way street, Smith acknowledged to a reporter. I've got 10 years personally in this project, he said, the adrenaline of the victory rushing through his electrodes like a taser jolt. And he added, the city's taken a big bet on us with this project. Council members Barry Graham and Kathy Littlefield, the two votes against the project, said it's a bad wager. They sided with neighbors, who raised concerns that even with revisions over the past few months, Smith's live-work-play idea remains too big and too dense with too much traffic. Littlefield wasn't just worried about motor vehicle traffic on 74 acres at Hayden Road and the Loop 101. She echoed the Airport Advisory Commission, which in January howled loud and clear, unanimously rejecting Axon's plan as likely to lead to endless complaints from apartment residents under a main flight plan. Not the type to be intimidated by a simple no, Smith shrugged off rebuffs from the Airport and Planning Commission earlier this year. On November 13, Axon's revised plan won unanimous approval from the Planning Commission. Littlefield and Graham said they were concerned that Smith and company never returned to the Airport Advisory Commission. It's dangerous to have apartments right under the flight path, Littlefield said. I cannot vote to put our city in danger. But the other five council members apparently were satisfied with Scottsdale Airport Director Gary Mascaro, who said changes Axon made satisfied the commissioner's worries. Backed by a sea of employees in black Axon shirts, Smith regaled council with a tale of how his non-lethal weapons company was inspired by two Chaparral High friends who were shot dead. He recalled the lean years as a fledgling startup, barely making payroll and skirting bankruptcy before leading Axon to become a global leader in law enforcement supplies, tasers, body cameras, drones. Axon's annual revenues have soared over $2 billion, demanding bigger space and a campus to attract bright engineers, Smith pitched. After getting the green light to launch his dream, Smith was giddy. Part of it was a lack of sleep. He said he spent the night before at his North Scottsdale home, his mind racing with scenarios on how the meeting would unfold. How was he planning to celebrate? With plenty of top-shelf restaurants and ritzy bars beckoning to host a party, Smith planned to head home. He said his 14-year-old son has been following the year-long rezoning process. He's actually gotten very interested in city government, just watching all this work, Smith gushed. So I'm going to go home, and I'm going to start by recounting the whole tale to him, because he missed it tonight for basketball practice. Billion Dollar Row. Ortega and company, belittled by some who spoke as the lame dunk council, After re-election fails by Ortega, Caputi, and Durham, gave Axon an unofficial welcome to the billion-dollar row. Indeed, this is the fourth big-ticket development waved on by the Ortega administration. After winning council approval for rezoning and a revised development agreement with some $10 million in infrastructure reimbursements, Axon's $1.3 billion corporate campus will bookend the row started at the west end by Optima McDowell Mountain Village, which is busy putting up the first of its 1,300 apartments. Between the Optima and Axon multifaceted apartment complexes, ASM, a Dutch tech company that cut a deal with the city for a $300 million research office lab, and Banner, which plans a $400 million multifaceted project anchored by a hospital. Banner must go through its own rezoning process. Axon's was not easy. With crucial approval on the line, Rick Smith entered what he called a momentous November 19th City Council meeting with a 1-1-2 record in Scottsdale public meetings. In five public meetings this year, he finally scored a victory. The previous week's unanimous recommendation by the Planning Commission after a decisive defeat to begin the year. January's sound rejection of Axon's office apartments hotel plan by the Airport Advisory Commission was followed by two draws as Planning Commission called for more information. That led to a long hiatus, with Smith and his management team going back to the drawing board. The 50 public seats in the hall were taken 90 minutes before the meeting. At least 40 of the seats were occupied by young men and women in Axon shirts. Other burly workers in their 20s and 30s mixed in with silver-haired residents, standing two and three deep in the meeting hall's second level. At its current Scottsdale office, Axon has 850 employees here. Another 650 are expected post-expansion. At a pre-pandemic state land auction, Smith and Axon bought 74 acres with commercial zoning and specific bans on residential building. Answering critics who say the residential use by Axon makes the land far more profitable, Smith told council he reached a deal with the state to add another $10 million to the $49 million he paid after the auction. Since Smith's plan was unveiled in the middle of 2023, residents of the nearby Stony Brook 2 community howled over a traffic nightmare the project would bring. After setbacks in early 2024, Smith was infuriated, vetting at investors' meetings he would just take his plan and move it if Scottsdale didn't accommodate him. Smith said the revised plan eliminates a proposed roundabout and moves a main street to create a better traffic flow. Susan McGarry, president of the Stony Brook 2 HOA, said the plan was much better, but still imperfect. Too many apartments, too densely packed in, McGarry and some of her neighbors said. Charles Hume Mantell, Axon's zoning attorney, described last-minute changes after again meeting with neighbors. Axon will reduce another 70 units and build berms as well as sound reduction members. Humantel said Axon construction on the multi-phase project is scheduled to continue through the 2020s. Makes me blush. As he did before the Planning Commission, Smith pumped up an economic impact study on what he calls his Silicon Desert vision. Highlights: the Axon campus will bring $38 billion in total economic output over 10 years. Creation of up to 18,800 jobs, direct, indirect, and induced, annually across the state. Growth from 800 current Axon employees in Scottsdale to a capacity of 5,500 highly skilled jobs with an average annual salary of approximately $100,500. Tax revenues of $366 million for Scottsdale over 10 years. Scottsdale Economic Development Terry Kilgore gave a presentation emphasizing how Axon's plan aligns with Scottsdale's goals. While the plan is certainly new to Scottsdale, Apple, Google, and Facebook, companies Axon competes with for talented young engineers have been building offices surrounded by apartments, Kilgore stressed. The development agreement she proposed has Axon being reimbursed for infrastructure costs if the company builds at least 250,000 square feet of new building and achieves a payroll of $130 million within 5 years. Axon is eligible for nearly $10 million in reimbursements, the same $9.4 million as in the original 2019 agreement. Axon will also need to bring 3,000 acre-feet, or 950 million gallons of water. Kilgore called Axon's plan a regional, national, and even international draw. Dressed in all black, Smith said the economic impact numbers kind of make me blush. I spent the first 7 years of this job, he said, trying to figure out how I was going to make payroll at the end of the month. We're excited to anchor a new tech hub that outshines Austin, Smith promised City Council. He pitched a live-work-play environment. It's not just for the company, he emphasized, as neighbors can stroll the grounds, take their dogs to a planned park, and enjoy 7 restaurants in a nice walkable campus. Criticism, he said, has made the project stronger. He got more of it. James Davis, a coalition of Greater Scottsdale, said 85% of members are opposed to Axon's proposed additional residential units. There are already too many apartments in the area, Davis said. He said the development would be an additional burden on Scottsdale taxpayers. Davis was followed by Jan Duboskis, who was elected to City Council and begins her term in January. Thank you, Mr. Smith. We value Axon, Duboskis began. There is no doubt you bring great value to Scottsdale. But, she said, when she met with residents during her campaign, they had a common message. Stop the apartments. That's what residents want, Duboskis said. She scoffed at the notion of becoming the next Austin of a Silicon Valley offshoot. Scottsdale's different, the councilwoman-elect concluded, and we want it to stay that way. Bob Benjamin, an art gallery owner and frequent city critic, echoed that. People didn't elect you to turn Scottsdale into a tech hub, Benjamin lectured council. They elected you to protect the character of Scottsdale. Gabriel Hitchcock was even more blunt. She slammed, a lame duck council trying to push this through. If you would have just listened to us, Hitchcock insisted, her voice cracking into sobs, you would still have your jobs. Blue support. Of the 55 public speakers, the supporters outnumbered the detractors by a 2-to-1 margin. Most of Smith's supporters were, to be fair, on his payroll. Several Axon employees in their 20s read impassioned speeches about how the company changed their lives off phones. We're making Scottsdale better, one young engineer said. But several current and former law enforcement officials said they believe in Axon's mission, and Scottsdale should too. Surely the most ringing endorsement came from the Scottsdale Police Chief Jeff Walther. He said he was quaking in my boots at the thought that Axon might leave town. Walther said his officers often get to try out Axon's new products and refined tasers. The chief hammered home his message. Scottsdale is safer with Axon in our backyard. City council members nodded their heads in agreement at that. Others praised revisions Smith made over the last year. Buildings were moved around at the request of neighbors, Smith noted. The summary of the revised Axon plan, submitted October 24th, highlights walkable shaded paths, tree-lined streets and sidewalks, a running path, a dog park, and 64% additional open space than what is required by the zoning ordinance. We did these things to create quality spaces for our employees, residents, visitors, and neighbors. Janik acknowledged the vast majority of some 600 emails were against the project. I read them all, she said, before making a motion to approve the plan, with a reduction to 1,895 maximum units. Durham's vote was somewhat grudging. We're very good about protecting desert space and open space, he insisted. The Axon project, I agree with many people who spoke, is bigger than what I want. But Smith was grinning, even blushing, when Durham repeated Walther's praise of Axon. Those shaking their heads at all the cranes around the city might disagree, Whitehead insisted. The current council raised the bar for development. She insisted the changes she and her colleagues negotiated make this a solid project. I would not approve of something I thought might hurt that neighborhood, Whitehead said. Caputi took that and ran with it. All projects can be improved, Caputi said. That is our job, and we've done it incredibly well here. This is the definition of resident-friendly. Littlefield begged to differ. If we pass this tonight, she warned, we are not listening to citizens. But the vote that capped a four-hour meeting and cost Smith sleep ended up sending the Axon leader victorious into the cool, dark night. What really was remarkable, he marveled, surrounded by his inner circle outside City Hall, is even the people who disagreed with us are so agreeable. Then he whipped his phone out of his pocket. I've got to tell my family. They're on pins and needles, waiting to hear. And that article was titled, Cleared for Takeoff, City Zones Up Axon. Lewis Patinsky Sharkey to join Scottsdale Unified School District Board by Tom Scanlon. SLP it is. What was designated as an individual battle became a team sport in the Scottsdale Unified School District Governing Board race. With three seats up for grabs, six candidates, Janine Beasley, Drew Hassler, Gretchen Jacobs, Donna Lewis, Matt Patinsky, and Mike Sharkey aggressively campaigned. Two teams formed early on, SLP, Sharkey, Lewis, and Patinsky, and JBH, Jacobs, Beasley, and Hassler. The clear winner? SLP, backed by Democratic progressive groups, according to unofficial results. Lewis was the top vote-getter, followed closely by Patinsky and Lewis. Those three will begin four-year terms as unpaid board members in January. Jacobs, Beasley, and Hassler were each thousands of votes behind the winning three. Lobbyist Jacobs, paralegal Beasley, and coach house bartender and owner Hassler were running as GBH with the slogan, Just Be Honest. The three told the Progress they were hybrid and conservatives. Patinsky sidestepped a question about SLP's priorities when the three take board seats. It's premature to address top priorities, he said. As of this writing, there are still votes to be counted. We are excited to learn from the continuing board members and the ones who are leaving, as well as district leadership. Going by SLP are Sharkey, an Arizona State University executive director, Lewis, a former superintendent of Cave Creek Unified School District, and education software entrepreneur Patinsky. They identified to the Progress as centrist or moderates. Though school board races are nonpartisan, the JBH trio received financial backing from conservative groups and endorsements from local Republican organizations, while the SLP three received funding from liberal progressive groups and endorsements from local Democratic organizations. All six SUSD board candidates this year raised nearly as much as the collective field of six that ran in 2020, with three 2024 individual candidates topping the collective fundraising of board candidates 4 years ago. And campaign finance reports show huge political action committee funds flooded the Scottsdale Public School race. The Virginia-based conservative organization, the 1776 Project, backed Team JBH Trio with mailers and $57,000 total support, while Arizona advocacy group Stand for Children pushed $140,000 plus to the SLP team. Individually, all six candidates raised at least $30,000, with members of SLP each topping $50,000. And that's all the time we have left for that article, titled Lewis Patinsky Sharkey to Join Scottsdale Unified School District Board. Now for some Paradise Valley news from the town of Paradise Valley Independent. Mark Stanton prepares to be Paradise Valley's new mayor by Janet Perez. After spending 10 years on the Paradise Valley Town Council, Mark Stanton is ready to take the wheel. As we look forward to this next year and we move into the next council evolution, engagement with residents, listening, participation, transparency, that's all vital, and I look forward to continuing, Stanton said. I'm thrilled. I'm honored to have this opportunity to become the next mayor, and I'm grateful to work with the council members that will be there and build on the legacy of those who have come before. Stanton's 2024 campaign run was long. First, he campaigned for the July 30th primary, which resulted in a runoff with fellow councilmember Anna Thomason. In the November 5th general election, Stanton won the mayor's seat outright, defeating Thomason 54% to 46%. Anna and I have been longtime colleagues and friends, so it was nice to be in a competition with someone that you really respect, he said. At the November 14th council meeting, Thomason also tipped her hat to Stanton. He is a gentleman, a longtime resident of this community, a fine human being, and a good family man, Thomason said at the meeting. Everywhere I went for 9 months, I looked at people in the face, and I could say with such honesty, we're going to be fine, whoever is our mayor. We can rest assured that we have great leadership in the town. Stanton will take the reins in January from current mayor Jerry Bean Wilner, who has held the seat since 2019. He's been a great leader, a very, very skilled mayor. He's got a great balance to him where he knows protocol, and he knows the town, and he knows what the priorities are, Stanton said. One of his strongest qualities is his patience, but also his firmness in keeping the council focused and helping aggregate all the different thoughts and opinions so we can move forward with the issues. He's also been very good in working with other municipalities, not just around Paradise Valley, but around the state, and I've learned quite a bit working with him in that capacity. Stanton has his own experience working with local and state leaders in his capacity as president and CEO of the Scottsdale Area Chamber of Commerce, and is now ready to connect with his new role as mayor. As a longtime council member, Stanton is well-versed in the priorities and needs for the town, among the greatest being safe and effective roadways. We know that there's going to be growth. We know there's going to be growth in our surrounding municipalities. That's inevitable, he said. We're taking measures to best manage that, knowing that traffic is a priority, working with our Public Works Department and also our Police Department to make sure we're keeping the roads maintained, managing the photo radar program, and following the general plan. Perhaps the most important issue for the town is maintaining local control. That became evident when the state legislature passed and Governor Katie Hobbs signed a bill in May that will allow for the building and renting of accessory dwelling units, or casitas, in single-family homes close to business centers in towns and cities with populations of more than 75,000 people. The challenge there is that the state has shown that they are able to and do reach over and try to regulate towns and cities, and we've seen this on the short-term rental issue. We've seen it on land use issues within these ancillary dwelling units, Stanton said. There's a carve-out, so we believe that's based on the bill's sponsors, that Paradise Valley won't be subject to that particular state law, but we are very cautious and alert. Bean Wilner leaving the council is a major change, but not the only one. With Bean Wilner not running for re-election, and Stanton announcing his last term as council member as he ran for mayor, a seat opened up on the body. In the July primary, Paradise Valley Planning Commissioner Chair Karen Lippman won the empty council seat. As part of the team that's helped lay out future plans for Paradise Valley, Stanton said it will be full steam ahead in 2025. I want to keep us on a path of quality of life. I want to keep us on a path of public safety, he said. We are a thriving small municipality in a pretty big populated part of Maricopa County. So protecting our town priorities, but also working with our partners, working with other municipalities, working with the county, and working with the state, and having good strong relationships and communication is vital to the town moving forward. and that article was titled, Mark Stanton Prepares to be Paradise Valley's New Mayor. $12.5 million residential lot sold in Paradise Valley sets record. A 5-acre lot in the elite area of Paradise Valley known as Billionaire's Row has sold for a record $12.5 million. It's the largest land deal for a partial zone for single-family home in the town. Frank DiMaggio of Scottsdale-based Compass represented the buyer for the transaction, who did not disclose his or her name, only to say they are locally based. While the local cash buyer's construction plans are not finalized, DiMaggio expects the single-family home that will eventually occupy the property to be more than 50,000 square feet. The off-market transaction involving the parcel is located at 5711 North Yucca Road. The property offers views of Camelback Mountain and sits among the expansive estates and compounds owned by Arizona's elite. DiMaggio said the lot is vacant and the record for a lot planned to have one home and is not meant to be subdivided. With an influx of buyers from California, Seattle, and Portland, the Arizona real estate market is reaching an entirely new level of affluence, he said in a news release. It's becoming more like markets in Beverly Hills, Aspen, and Greenwich, Connecticut, with sales numbers looking more like those you once saw only for waterfront properties or high-rise apartments in Manhattan. In Paradise Valley, zoning laws limit construction to 25% of a lot's total size, so buyers are looking to build large-scale homes must find spacious lots to match. With properties of this size rarely hitting the market, DiMaggio said such opportunities drive competition and prices, mirroring the demand seen in other exclusive real estate markets. He said the land also has level landscape with flat terrain, making it well suited for construction. DiMaggio said the property was initially listed at $15 million before it was taken off the market, and then introduced to a cash buyer who was originally looking at a different lot. Rarely, if ever, do 5-acre lots come on the market in this neighborhood, DiMaggio said, noting that the scarcity of such properties drives demand. There are people that want to build 20,000, 30,000, or 40,000 square foot homes, but only real limitation is lot size. There aren't many lots like this that will ever exist in this area. And that article was titled, $12.5 million residential lot sold in Paradise Valley sets record. You've been listening to the East Valley News featuring the towns of Paradise Valley and Scottsdale. I'm your Sun Sounds reader, Chris Rosewell. Have a great rest of your day.